Hi, this is your host, Suno Ronald. Join me as we get to unlock and expose what you need to know in order to have a great brand on the web. This is the Powerful Assistant Podcast, where you get to have insights about digital marketing from the players and the shapers. Now, this is the time.
You know, we're leaving a blueprint through audio, through video, through pictures and whatever it is. So I never got a chance to see my childhood growing up. So I try to document mine, and at the same time, I try to document that. So by the time she's grown up, you know, Instagram, Facebook, or whatever platform that will be extremely important in future for them. Okay.
Danze is the digital marketing head for Next Media. Next Media, this is a parent broadcast company that owns NBS TV, Nile Post, Next Radio, and Sanyuka TV. On this episode, Danze shares his introduction into the digital marketing business. You will also get to learn what it takes to produce great media content that stands out. In such a stiff competition where players like Netflix are taking a portion of TV audiences, we unpack challenges to be faced as Danze shares possible solutions for local TV industry players in these digital streaming wars. Enjoy the show.
On your Instagram account, on the 6th of January 2018, you posted a picture. How well do you know your Instagram account, first of all?
I'm about to check. I'm extremely curious.
All right.
Because I've been on an Instagram hiatus for a while, man.
Instagram, I saw a picture.
Oh, 6th Jan.
Exactly. 6th
Must be
Jan.
A very special post.
Exactly.
And this year, last year?
Last year. Yes.
Okay.
And the post reads, holding on to love.
Okay.
What's that picture saying?
Well, that was the birth of my daughter. She's called Araya.
Yeah.
Very soon to be internet celebrity.
I see. Oh my God. You actually get to the post.
Yeah.
The life of Araya and the life of Batman.
Yeah, but
what's behind the life of Batman? First, let's deep dive into the life of Batman.
Well, growing up, I've been a very ardent fan of comic books and etc.
Right.
I was very keen into visual art and design and things like that.
Mm.
So I think I picked most of my inspirations on being an artist and also expressing myself through reading such material.
Mm.
Because it's an escape. It's a fiction. So
exactly.
you're not going to see people washing dishes. You're not going to see people doing all these things. They're flying. They're doing all this crazy stuff.
You like fiction movies?
A lot. Those are my number one sci-fi. Yeah. But I think it's a great escape, and most importantly, it allows you to express yourself through your mind.
Yeah.
And of course, some of the things that you learn there become your mantra. I'm a big fan of Batman. Mm-hmm. I think he's the coolest warrior out there.
Mm-hmm.
He has no superpowers or anything else, but he adapts. He does all those things.
And when you had Araya,
you're
like, let's have the life of Araya.
Because I think, you know, we're living a blueprint through audio, through video, through pictures and whatever it is. So I never got a chance to see my childhood growing up.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to document mine. And at the same time, I try to document her. So by the time she's grown up, because I know Instagram, Facebook, or whatever platform that will be extremely important in future for these kids.
Is she having an Instagram account, her own account?
Not yet.
Why not?
She will eventually. But I think why I put the hashtag is to track. Mm-hmm. So it will be easier for her to just go and do the rest. I think she needs to give me permission to do that first. That's what I believe.
Would you advise other millennial parents, because I believe you are a millennial, to do the same?
I think it's a cool thing to do. Secondly, it allows you to bond with your child much better.
The pictures you share, the memories you...
And also, I think it allows you to be a parent much easier, because the more you accept the fact that you're a parent, the more you keep seeing it, the more you'll be able to live that life.
Yeah. That's how you are with social media. And a man being behind these big brands, I wanted to step into the journey on how you started. I have a thing or two, actually, before you get in. There is a project that you had when you started.
Yeah.
I did some digging. It was called the Parallax Project.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
Well, let's just say, based on exactly what I've explained to you about content and all, I never had the best opportunities growing up, but I'm glad I went to the best schools. Now, on doing that, I get to meet a lot of kids out there who are doing great stuff. There's a friend of mine called Tamale. He was the UN ambassador of Uganda for children. And he used to go for these conferences in the UN and all these things. So I used to do a lot of community gatherings and used to push a lot of projects and etc. And like, his circles of friends were quite interesting. So I figured, you know what? how about I use the little I have to sort of mobilize my fellow teens and all those things, and we start pushing things out there.
Mm.
So I got opportunities to do things in art, drama, and fashion more specifically.
Mm.
So I was working with Silver Warrior at that point in time.
Yeah.
So I started doing graphics, online marketing. By that time, I didn't even know what it was.
Yeah, that's a good step, because I understand Silvia Ori is one of the most recognized icons.
Uh-huh. At that point in time, she I still consider her as the biggest fashion designer we've had in Uganda.
Yeah.
At that point in time, she had a need for graphics. She had a need for fresh ideas.
Mm-hmm.
So friends of mine who got us on board, we started doing all these things. So I figured, you know what, let's make these things more centralized. Mm-hmm. So we started doing social media. We used to archive all these pictures, videos, projects, and whatever.
Which year is that? Because I think that was very early.
Man, 2017. Man. That's like 2011-ish, 10 there. We used to do video gaming tournaments. Anything that deals with the youth at any level, we wanted to do that. And the beautiful thing about it is, I was just glad I was surrounded in an environment which allowed for self-expression
creation.
And also allowed for creativity and a lot of content creation. That's the one. If of all the people I've worked for before in my life, she's the first person that allowed me to do me.
Yeah, later. To step into your...
Uh-huh. So as much as I was working for her, doing all the fashion design, graphics, model castings, and videography and photography, I was able to do my things on the side.
How come you didn't become a model?
Those are things for the Rama.
Rama, those ones who are listening, he was an ex-fashion model, and now he's owning a boutique store, a fashion men's store. I'll be having him shortly on the podcast. But yeah, moving on, so you're doing creatives with Silvia Wari. You're stepping into the desires to create more content. Where does it find you at Next Media?
So I think my path or my career has been more of a discovery for myself, and at the same time, people just keep on discovering me. I've never had a job interview in my life. I find it as a blessing. Because Sylvia, I was fortunate enough to be friends with a guy called Jovan, who was already friends with us, so they just got us on board. But the way I work normally gets me into a specific space. So since we're doing a lot of work for fashion, then we started doing commercializing, where we were doing branded t-shirts and it is, because she was branching out, the company needed to grow bigger. So that's when I get involved with Pepsi. I'm doing video gaming tournaments with Buzz Magazine and ETC. Eventually, there's an agency called Fireworks that scout me.
Yeah, as very good. I know about it.
I genuinely wanted to work for Fireworks for a very long time, but at that point in time, I completely moved on, because I'd done some work with Moringa at that time, TBW.
Okay. Yeah.
And eventually, you know, they say, this guy is good. We've seen him doing a couple of things, websites here and there. I was just boxing all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually, I go to Fireworks. I learned digital. I learned that it's called digital marketing at that point. So I work at a very shrewd, but very, I would say, technical. It's called Chapter. I know. It's very tough.
Yes.
But the fact is, he's very good at grooming. Young and untested talent, because it pushed me in the deep end. Eventually,
for digital marketing,
exactly. So I learned everything around strategy, content creation, community management through that space. And eventually, as time moves on, the people you work with.
How many years have you at Fireworks?
About 4 years.
4 years at
Fireworks. Four plus ish there.
Oh.
Yeah, because the person who was there eventually left. She's head of marketing at Next Media, so she's like, you know what? I used to work with this guy. Get this guy on board. So that's how I ended up at Next Media Services.
Wow. And how are you finding your current position?
Simplest words would be evolving, because it does not stay the same.
Yeah.
I mean, we're doing podcasts now.
Exactly.
2017, I joined to support television broadcast.
Yes.
What is happening on TV, my mandate was to make sure it goes on Twitter and Facebook. Not even anything else out of that spectrum.
Yeah.
Those were my core deliverables. Get it? But I ended up in a situation whereby I'm working with a company whose CEO is very, very, very adaptive to the environment. So there's live TV that's going up. 2016, I came in 2017. Live TV is a big thing now. So that means, how do we transmit live TV onto social media? Or how do we move video imaging to still imaging or into text? So that's the nature of work as it just keeps on evolving.
It's the place where now we have the highest attention when we're trying to consume content away from the website, let's say, any other platforms we're using now. It's social media. Social media is now the thing. It has been the thing now for the past, 5 to 4 years.
Yeah.
And your marketing TV, a product that is heavily having high competition in the market. You're having big players against you, global companies as well, because I think also subscribe to service providers like DSTV.
Yeah, definitely.
StarTimes. And I want to think that your job is to make sure it stands out out of the competition. How do you make sure you do that? How has NBS been able to survive and break the market and become the top number one leading brand in TV broadcasting?
I think it's about the product. So many people are fixated about comparing brands with each other. I like to use the example of football teams.
Yes.
See, they're the big teams, Real Madrid, Barcelona, whatever it is.
Yeah.
All those teams are able to win any league at any given time. But I will never get a team to come from Spain and win the league in England because of the nature of style of football this side and the nature of physicality and things like that.
I hope the audience can relate because I'm not a fan of football.
I'm going to bring you home soon.
Yeah.
So back in the day, when I was still at agency, I used to hear the number one TV station is this, the number one radio station is this, the number one influencer online is this. You get it? But then when I started working with Next Media, I figured, you know what? It's about the products, it's about the brand, and it's about, most importantly, the culture of these companies. Now, why I believe NBS is able to stand out, not to be number one, because that's in the opinion of the audience out there.
What we keep and what we say.
But what we believe in first is, how good is your product? If your product is good, it will always trend number one.
Yes.
If your product is good, it will always be on request or on demand. If your product is genuinely good, StarTimes, DSTV, all these other star satellite companies will come out and say, could we have this one product appearing here? You get it? So that's how we manage to stand out. I won't say we do something out of the ordinary, because I believe any other brand out there, if they practice the cultures that are Next Media, they would really stand out.
What do you consider good? You talk about your product being good. What is good? Because I can have my own product, and that's the best. I'm performing at my 100.
Yeah, definitely.
Exactly. So, what do you consider good content?
Okay, let me use this example. You know those. You know. Lately on Twitter, you saw. Was it called Scope Photos?
It's some late South African.
Whatever. Yes. I've never bothered to find out where it's from, what it means.
Exactly.
But I know what it triggers.
Yes.
That's a good product.
Mm-hmm.
Now, another example would be, you find someone on Twitter or Instagram, whatever it is, they have about 15 followers. They're following 20,000, but they're on Twitter. Thing. So you find someone with very few followers, but their tweet is going to blow up to over 20k, a million views and whatever it is. There's a friend of mine called Chinyera Joda, a lawyer. He blew up on social media, Twitter recently. The story of, he studied for over all these years to learn law so that he could win land back for his dad. You remember that story?
Yeah.
Now that tweet blew up.
Yes, I do remember.
Now, if I was considering that as a product, I would say that is a very good product. One, it's human interest. Secondly, so many people can relate. And then lastly, it's content any other big brand or small brand can pick out.
From what I pick from you, content that can relate to people, content that is natural and organic, and I think you also have to own it.
There has to be a hub where it's from.
Yes.
For example, there's stuff that's making sense in Tanzania, South Africa, Kenya, whatever it is, that won't work here.
Yeah.
But if your product is going to be cross the borders, but even if it doesn't cross the borders and it makes sense just here in Uganda, and it's relatable to everyone, and everyone is clicking on it, everyone is viewing it, everyone is talking about it eventually, it does work. That's good.
But that reminds me of a time when we were going off analog to digital. And one of the requirements from the broadcaster licensor, that's UCC, they requested for people who could publish organic content, local content.
Yeah.
And you could see brands that were having international content, they were taking long to be added onto the digital platforms. Now that you've shared about breaking out of the competition, you just shared that you have content that can cross borders. First, tell us, what products are those crossing borders that you have on NBS TV?
It's mainly the stories. For instance, there was that Kifesi thing they did sometime back. When I was joining, it's one of the things that attracted me to NBS. They did an investigate about robbery here in our central city.
Yes.
We used to hear about those stories.
Guys, Kifesi, those ones who are listening, Kifesi are the guys who are, they are robbers, and that's the local name we tag them. So the Kifesi are the guys who can find you the night and they rob you, you know, with a gang and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So things like that. I think that story was touched home.
Yes, please.
When people visually saw the representation of what it takes for you to have your bag unzipped and your stuff taken in seconds, what the rings look like and things like that, that product related everywhere. Because, you know, we have a lot of tourists coming into the country. BBC, Voice of America, DW will pick up on that content by default. And also the common man out there who may not understand English but can see and understand will also pick that up. So investigative pieces, other products that really come out as some topics on entertainment shows. The unfortunate event of last year, the MV, is it Kalanga?
Kalanga, yes.
Yeah, that song.
Brotherhood, yes.
Yeah, exactly. Now, so many people touched on that topic. But the way, for example, the show called Another Round, the way we treated it was to have one of the
survivors. Another Round with Gaetano and Marcus.
Yeah. Yes, so he's actually now doing billboards for Stanley, Chala Isi.
Yes, please.
Yeah, that gentleman. He came and gave his genuine story. And we asked him, you know what? We are going to put the foot off the pedal and just tell us what it felt like from your perspective. So he was able to tell people how the feeling was, how he was a swimmer, how he was not supposed to be on that boat. He ran away from the home. So he brought in marital issues. He brought in survival issues. He brought in issues to do with drinking and all those things. So when you compound all that stuff into one, you're going to touch so many people and it will make sense. So there's various other products out there that has happened, investigative pieces, tweets, the way we covered the Pope, the way we covered the unfortunate murder of Kawesi, things like that.
Very sudden.
So I think the most important thing is the attention we gave to a certain piece of product or content is what made it stand out. Because there's so much that goes out there.
Yeah. Right now, Danzi, I want us to explain, I want us to deep dive into how does one reach you, first of all? Can you work for any other brand apart from Next Media?
One of the key things I think is of, that I, you know, you have employees that have, that bring on board certain aspects.
Yes, please.
For example, I run a team of about 15 people.
Yes.
And the one thing that I've discovered about myself from my ex-bosses and all those things is they tell me I have brand loyalty. Yeah, I do work for other brands through servicing. Through agencies and whatever, because I do digital marketing for other clients, because I work for Nextcom as well. It's a digital agency.
Yes, please.
So yes, I do work for other brands.
Next Media's parent company under Next Media, right?
Exactly. It does online marketing strategy and all those things for all the seven brands, because they need to centralize that under one thing. Yes, I do work for other brands, but I am loyal. Oh, my loyalties are with Next Media, is what I would say. So I can't work for a competing network unless it's like a partner network, because we do partner with DW, Voice of America, and whatever it is.
Yes,
so those ones specifically. But you won't be finding me in another company out there. Yeah.
It's sad, but it's good. Anyway, the other thing I wanted to ask you about, when you talked about social media being the pivot of broadcast companies kind of standing out in the market, we have a new, it's not new now, because we have, I'm talking about Netflix, I'm talking about Hulu Plus, I'm talking about Apple TV Plus now, and these are big companies that bring product, their products, they're producing movies, and they are competing against news content providers like obviously Next Media doing here in the country. How do you think they have a chance to stand out in the country?
I think we should even broaden it outside country, because it's going to be a global thing. Because when you asked me about the topic, I did some research and I found out that there used to be broadcast TV and then cable came.
Yes, please.
But TV still moved through.
Yes.
I think it was because of the nature in which people consume content at that time. People are used to being at home, their TV box, which you don't watch, and then cable came. Cable, you're subscribing to only what you want at the level it was in then.
Yeah.
Now, the issue right now is the damning reality. Why, for example, Next Media is doing telebroadcast, but it must ensure that there's a live stream running, is because they know maybe 60% of their audience is watching via their mobile phone.
Exactly.
Maybe 40% of their audience only wants to watch live at 9 and I'm a single, and nothing else. Get it? So you must, what the word would be, the broadcast companies must be prepared for the reality of on demand and pay as you go TV, which is a fact, but they will still exist because regardless, if your network like NBS is a big production house in itself, in quotes, the information that it's streaming is what's going to go on to these platforms. For example, you see how Netflix, back in the day when it was on its own, before the Hulus and Amazon Primes came, and what's it called? Disney Plus has been pulling all its content out from them again.
And they're losing out on Netflix.
Funny thing is, Netflix, people on Netflix were not watching Netflix. What are they called? Netflix specials or whatever it is. The stand-up comedies, yes, they watch them.
Yes.
But the Netflix-produced shows want...
It's like the House of Cards.
Exactly. Want getting the most out of this. Mm. People used to go there to watch Twilight Zone back in the day. They're watching MCU movies, DC movies, whatever it is. Mm. The fact that they're pulling all of them out also puts them in a certain scenario. They came up with this wonderful idea that people want to stay home and watch an ad-free show.
They pulled a lot of content from other partners.
Yeah, but broadcasts should consider or should pay attention to these platforms, but should not be worried at yet. Because, you know, at the end of the day, we still have 35 to 65-year-olds who are used to coming home after a long day, switch on your TV, watch your news, sleep. They're not going to get time to watch all these other shows out there.
But the market that you're talking about, 65 as an example, Uganda being the youngest nation in the country, majority of them would want to watch entertainment. How do you break the gap? Or what's your take on that? Because the content that you're saying in the actual reality, the news is consumed by the older generation. Yes, we can consume things like tabloid and you can have, like I see, online news. The online news protocol, which is called Now Post, where you access your news stories. But you see, with TV broadcasts, TV as TV, is consumed by the bigger generation.
True.
How do you make sure that you're going to attract their attention and remain on entertainment versus running to Netflix, Hulu, or Amazon Prime?
Well, it's the question we asked ourselves earlier in the year as Next Media. and we figured, at the end of that day, everyone has a smartphone.
Yes, please.
There are children I used to. My daughter is always with my phone. She knows how to switch on the camera.
Does she have a phone?
I know.
Are you getting her a phone?
She'll get a phone when she's like. And it will depend on how the nature is going. There are parents who give their kids' phones at 13 years. I've also seen parents who have given their children tabs at 2 years.
At what age did you have your first phone?
My first phone was in my back of S6.
Which one was that?
Well, it was some kind of Nokia thing. It was the hottest thing at that
point. Express Music?
No, it was way lower than that.
Okay.
It was a weird Nokia, but it had some color and etc. Depending on the nature in which it's going, because I give her my phone and my headphones and she just to learn and whatever it is, because unfortunately, the more you deprive them of that, the less they'll be able to learn, because you're not going to learn something off a blackboard, because their brains are devolving differently. Same thing is, I'd rather listen to a podcast and watch it at the same time.
Yeah.
Or I'd rather open YouTube, shut the browser, let it play in my ears as I work. It's just how we're evolving. So like I said, it's a problem we had beginning of this year. And we realize this, like you've just said, the older generation is watching TV news and whatever it is specifically.
Exactly.
But unfortunately, since they are the commercial arm, or they are the primary target audience, they have the secondary people who get to these platforms by ways of data, watching a TV, whatever it is, because these people can afford to give it to them. Now, unfortunately, Uganda specifically, based on our political environment, people are more interested in current affairs.
Yes.
Now, this current affairs is encompassed in entertainment shows as well.
Yeah.
Get it? So everyone is watching 24/7 at all the time.
Yeah.
That's why in banking halls, there's a TV showing either NBS or NTV or another channel. You get it? If you're in a taxi, in a premium bus, there's a TV there as well showing current affairs, because people want to be informed all the time.
Yes.
So we figured, you know what? Have your things running on TV. But remember, 50% of the people are not going to watch it.
Yes.
But they want to find it on YouTube.
Yes, please.
And on YouTube, if you go on YouTube, they need to find it in a specific playlist saying, this was this bulletin at this time about this. They want to watch it at that point and switch off. For them, that's how they've consumed MBS at that point in time. Other people want to go on Twitter, hit the thread and see the investigative story, how it went and etc.
Yes.
And then short, summarized clips. Yeah. Same thing with radio. Capital FM is very good at video clips and whatever it is. You get it for the morning show.
Yeah.
Now, people, as much as they have listened to you,
That's very impressive coming from you.
As much as they've listened to you in the kind of morning.
Yeah.
The fact is, we are beyond audio experience.
Yeah.
We want to visually consume exactly. people. People are tired of what does Flavia look like?
Mm.
What does Flavia do? What was the reaction of the guest at this point in time?
Yeah.
They want to see that, and at the same time, they want to listen to it.
Mm.
So this information that is being repurposed is the next big strategy out there. You need to have your content prepared for your major audience, who is the person on the second screen that is constantly growing and becoming bigger.
Wow. That's a lot of insight. Mm. Wow. A man of your nature, you must be doing a lot of work on your desk. Like, you have a lot of work on your desk. You said you handle a 15-man power team in Next Media. How do you maintain work-life balance versus your life of Batman?
Well, actually, people say I work too much.
Yes.
Which I don't think I do. I believe my team works harder than me. Oh, not
but you're the brains, yeah.
Which I would say yes. I think the nature in which I've managed to handle my work life is based on two people I see at the company specifically.
Yeah.
There's our head of marketing, Pamela Adong. I've worked with her for a long period of time.
Yeah.
She's learned how to juggle the two sides of living. She's working, but at the same time, you don't see her. She doesn't look like she's struggling to work. And then our CEO, group CEO is beyond just Next Media. He's handling so many other companies out there. He's head of NAB. You're always going to see me at the press conference of UCC and whatever, all these things you get. The thing that helps him do that is because he has an enabled team. Like you're saying, being the brains, he's going to come up with the way forward. Get it? Now, from the way forward, everyone is going to be given what they are supposed to do. Now, they will not micromanage you to do it because your team is already enabled. It's the same exact thing I do. If I have a big assignment, which is every single day, I believe I can trust Noni and all my other community managers out there to pull it off.
Yeah.
Because I know I've taught them how to do community management. Most of them come with that skill regardless. I've taught them how to do strategy. They know how to do reporting and all those things.
Mm.
So at the end of the day, my work is to ensure that if something was missing, I go and fill it in. But the most important thing about it still is never fear to get your hands dirty. If someone is sick, if someone has missed a tweet or whatever it is, get down and do it yourself because you're not going to lose anything anyway. And at the same time, it encourages your team that you're leading to do the same exact thing going.
Great leadership skills there, Dan.
Trust me, it's taken me a while to learn that.
It's been good. How long? 2017, right?
2017 till 2019.
That's beautiful. And what do you be doing aside from when you're away from work? I've seen your pictures when you're in the gym, right? How many times do you go in the gym?
It depends on how when I can.
Mm.
But okay, about my gym, first of all,
it's
something I read earlier this year. I'd been trying to do gym since 2017, but I didn't know it was about discipline and will. Get it? Now, personally, I'll just be honest and say I had self-control issues or I had indiscipline issues. I mean, I've been to 6 schools in HSC. Mm. 6. There's clearly a problem there.
6 schools in HSC?
Yeah, 6.
Whoa, we can't list them today. Maybe I'm tired.
Yeah, so and my dad had always had an issue with that. You get it? So I figured, you know what? What's that one thing that I'm going to do that is going to be that balance between, link between my work, my health, and my social life? So I figured if I can commit myself to doing aerobics on Monday, I'm going to go and do spin on another day, then I'll do weights and whatever it is, and then jog. I believe that I'm not, at first it was forcing myself to do this stuff, but I figured it's something that's going to, it's a discipline I'm teaching myself. Every time I decide to run 8 kilometers, I have no choice but to finish because I have left my things at the other starting point. So that allows me to also put this back into work. If they've given me a project to finish by 5 p.m., I must run that race and finish it at that time. So it's just been a mental process for me, more than it being a physical or health thing. So it's a good way to spend more time feeling happy and healthy. I'm not dozing in office, but at the same time, I'm able to practice those physical strains into applying them into my work and my family. So that's
so how I do that. You do that after work? Monday to Friday.
Friday is a struggle because Friday is when you have a lot of events, and sometimes I just fail to get back into the gym because there's certain things you can't do into the gym. Go into the gym when they get it. But Monday to Friday, sometimes Saturday, but Sundays, of course, I'm swimming with my daughter. So,
So yeah, I've seen a picture actually when you're swimming your daughter. Very beautiful. I see amazing content. You better get her an Instagram account very soon. We're excited to see it.
Someday.
Maybe you can also share with us your social media handles before we close.
Yeah, it's at Djahn, Djahn, everywhere. Yeah. Assistance is
awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Dan Nze, the head of digital marketing at Next Media Services. And I'm so privileged to have you. It was such an honor.
Thank you for tuning in. Catch you next time on the Powerful Assistant Podcast as we get new strategies and techniques which will enable our businesses thrive and strive. See you then on the next episode. Join the conversation on social media using the hashtag PowerTalksPodcast. And also you can catch us on Facebook, PowerTalksPodcast. See you there.
This podcast is produced by Powerful Assistant Network, a digital media company that provides the best solutions to website development, social media management, and mobile advertising.